Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And a good morning. It's 8 after the hour. Time for New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design with appropriate financial professionals in our studio, starting with Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It's great to be here, Ron. Thank you on this gorgeous day. Isn't this been a week to remember in terms of the weather, eh?
Oh, yes.
Ideal.
Just
it's ideal.
Rinse, lather, and repeat, as Ron has said before.
Just the way we like it.
The good stuff.
Yeah.
Lots of sun. We'll take it. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for all those who made comments to us regarding the radio program. We do love doing it, and we do spend time looking at the content, trying to give as much brevity and knowledge and information to today's current financial situation and how you can navigate what is in essence an incredible responsibility that each of us have to navigate our own retirements. The responsibility shift has been dramatic, as we've discussed before. It's been dramatic in a variety of ways, and that most of us now are responsible for our own incomes when it comes to retirement. Obviously, we can look at Social Security and other sources of some guaranteed incomes. A few do still have pensions. But in essence, that responsibility shift has caused many to save much more in those 401k plans, IRA accounts, Roth accounts, 403b accounts. It goes on and on. It is an alphabet soup, if you will, of retirement accounts. And so that's why we continue to talk about this. And it's amazing the amount of news. Shay was talking this morning about the Shay stats. Incredible. The stats that are coming out right now and what's going on with some of the regular statistics.
There's lots.
There's lots. Thank you, Shay. And we have with us, too, Heidi Thompson.
Good morning.
Financial advisor at Prout Financial Design, a well-respected member of the Prout Financial Design team. It is a pleasure to have you with us. And Shea Pataja, our chief experience officer.
I am actually arguing that this might be the best summer ever because we are going to slow down, hang with the family, hang at home. Like, I just think that we're going to be able to soak it all in. Because usually, summer, you go at such a dizzying pace from event to event to event, and you're trying to, like, get it all in. That this year, I kind of like the pressure being off a little bit.
Or from visitor to visitor to visitor.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, we did a client event a while back, and everyone just sat around really quietly and just enjoyed themselves. I'm like, are you okay? They're like, oh, yeah, this is great. All the visitors just left. Like, they had no more visitors for the summer, so they were just soaking up the quiet time.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, good.
Chills.
Very nice indeed. Well, before I go on, in the coming weeks, we hope to share more perspective on our history. Obviously, the people who helped form this country, many of them sacrificing their lives, in some cases their family, in some cases their careers and all the rest, in terms of making certain that this country continued and or even started, was significant. The sacrifice, amazing. And I want to start to share those perspectives in the coming weeks. Obviously, this country of ours is under attack from a variety of sources. And it is their right to It's their right to be dissenting. But it's also our right to share our perspective on what the history of this country means. And I think, obviously, there are a lot of political ideals and ideas out there. And I'm glad that the conversation has expanded to the extent that it has. At the same time, I think we have to keep history in perspective and go against the rewriting of our history as what's happening often in many circles. So we're going to try to begin to set some of those records straight in the coming weeks and share what we know to be true. And I'll speak for us all. We love our country, and we know most of our listeners do. So we'll try to help bolster perhaps your own feelings and perspective on this incredible country called the United States of America. All right, going off the more serious side, Shay, we've got some stats. First of all, before I even get into topic, I really want you to share, if you would. Interesting, I think.
The Shay stats?
Yes.
Shay stats.
Okay, I've got a couple. I'm looking for the one I found yesterday. So the U.S. Stock Exchange indexes finished their best quarter in decades on Tuesday. The Dow Jones ended the second quarter of 2020 up 18%, its best quarter since 1987. The S&P 500 rose 20%, its largest quarterly increase since 1998. And the NASDAQ rose 30%, its largest quarterly gain since 1999. So
that's because it was off the shelf in March, though, right? Went down.
It was, and it's been an incredible V formation.
Yeah.
Most, as we discussed before the show, no one was predicting it that I know of course. Who would have predicted? I mean, I remember looking at that waterfall effect of the market coming down to about 18.5 on the Dow and thinking, well, I certainly hope that the Fed intervenes or else this could get really interesting, and had a picture of a much lower stock market. And Shay's got some other stats in relation to the amount of federal intervention that's going on that will be helpful to us, I think.
Yeah, kind of. It's kind of an interesting to try to piece them all together. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting. I spoke to the man who puts these stats together for us, and he's a really measured guy, very analytical. But we got on the phone, and he just couldn't stop talking because he's just like, this is crazy. I mean, I think he's always looking for good stats, but him working on all this recently this year has, I don't think I've ever heard him that passionate.
So what do you mean he said this is crazy?
There's just so many stats and what's coming out of the news and trying to keep up with it, especially with the COVID numbers, and they don't really make sense as we're finding out. Maybe things weren't recorded quite as accurately as we'd hoped.
Rob was talking about before the show, this economic stats have been so far off, it's mind-bending. Some of these most recent numbers,
projections.
No one predicted that. They were so far off, it was like, okay, what planet are you from?
Yeah.
So anyways, you'll find these fun. So this is BTN Research. Over a four-week period ending Friday, April 10th, 2020, Jay Powell and the Federal Reserve launched or reopened 8 lending facilities to provide more than $2 trillion of loans to distressed corporations, municipalities, states, investors, investment companies, and money market funds. This is from the CARES Act. President Donald Trump signed the $2.3 trillion CARES Act on March 27th, 2020, including $301 billion of direct payments to individuals, $349 billion to loans, grants for small businesses, and $454 billion given to the Treasury Department to provide a backstop on $4.5 trillion of federal loans to big businesses.
How much to individuals?
That was $301 billion.
That was only billion, Ron.
Talking about real money there.
Exactly. Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, this one I
at least some of that is loans, though. You said to corporations and municipalities, that's going to be loans, which to me, I hope loans still means what it used to, which is it's paid back, right?
No.
Mm. No.
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 Surprise. The PPP program,
well,
as long as they qualify,
yeah.
And they've used, they qualify under now the 24-week, a 24-week qualification, and it's been recorded as paid as compensation to employees.
Loan forgiveness,
mm-hmm. which we have as well, participated in that. All right, go ahead, Shane.
Scott Pelley, excuse me, of 60 Minutes asked Fed Chair Jay Powell on May 17, 2020, where does it, meaning the new money flooding our system, come from? Powell responded, we print it digitally. So as a central bank, we have the ability to create money digitally, and that actually increases the money supply. That's from 60 Minutes.
You see, it was in a sandbox under the sand, and we pulled it out, and there it was.
If they would, you know, if they could just let everyone in America have a little digital money printing machine, then we wouldn't have to get federal benefits. We could just go print money. So when the mortgage was due or the car payment or the electric bill, we could say, let us print some money up.
Well, some people have done that. They've gotten in severe trouble for having printed money themselves. Yes, of course.
I'm gonna print money up.
It's a lot less work than a money tree. I mean, those you have to water and fertilize and make sure it gets the right light.
Yes. What do you think? Money grows on trees?
And in Michigan, it only works half the year.
How many of us have not forgotten that comment, huh?
They print it digitally.
Thank you, Mom and or Dad. Go ahead, Chad.
You know what I miss as an adult? And an allowance. You
know, that was kind of nice, wasn't it?
I used to get paid for doing things like my dad would give us 10 cents because we had a wood stove. So it was like 10 cents for every log we brought in. He had this because he was into, what was his, Larry Burkett. We did the Larry Burkett system, so he had it all mapped out. My dad's he's a builder engineer, so he had it all mapped out for us on a data sheet, and we could earn money certain ways. And anyway, I miss those days.
He had his own spreadsheet.
He had
right
his own spreadsheet
for
each of us to follow.
I bet you, if you offered to bring more logs in the house for him today, he'd still pay you 10 cents a log.
He probably would because he's tired of it. The nation's money supply has increased from $3.73 trillion as of March 11th, 2020, to $5.23 trillion as of June 15th, 2020, a function of the Fed's digital creation of money and low interest rates, motivating consumers to borrow money at historically low rates. And that's from the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis.
That's 5,200 billion dollars.
Either way you look at it, it's huge. So all that new money that they digitally printed, what's the correlation between that and the stock market, as you said earlier, was surprisingly on the uphill?
Well, because liquidity has been provided to the economy through, in essence, an artificial source. And actually, the Fed's been buying bonds, which provides liquidity, too. As the prices come down, they're in there buying. So psychologically, there's a backstop for those who are trading in these markets. People are involved in this. And when they see the government step in, they go, oh, there's the light of day again, when all we saw was dark before, if you will. Okay? So it provides that liquidity. So that it gives people the confidence to say, well, if they're in there buying, the price is coming up, and we're able then to begin trading these securities at better and better prices slowly. This isn't the whole story.
No.
But as these securities then begin to recover, then it creates more confidence, and there we go, more liquidity, and in fact, more liquidity to our populace as well, who tend to be then more willing to go out and spend and drive our economy forward, thus driving these economic numbers to a more positive stance.
But there is a limit. You couldn't just say, we're going to print enough money digitally to pay off everybody's bills and we'll all start at square one, no debt. They couldn't do that, right?
No, because then you'd have hyperinflation as they had in...
Oh, yeah, that's my next stat.
That's the next stat.
Thank you.
You fell into our trap there, Ron.
This is also from BTN Research. Some, but not all... economists feared that our digital creation of money through 2008 to 2014 and again in 2020 would lead to hyperinflation, something that occurred in Germany in 1921 to 1923, in Argentina in 1975 to 1990, and in Zimbabwe from 2007 to 2009. So,
our money is good as long as the confidence remains in it to be a satisfactory means of trade for goods and services. When that confidence level begins to erode because of too much money in the system, then, Houston, we have a problem. and that's where you will have wished in that end that you had some other alternative form or means of currency, perhaps silver and or gold as an example.
How's silver and gold been doing in the last month or so?
Well, just because you ask. I've never seen spreads like this when you look at the price of silver. The price of silver is about 18, 18.10, 18.20 right now per ounce. Well, if you were to go out and try to buy a regular bullion coin that doesn't, and this, is by the way, is from Monex.com. I was just checking out this morning. They're a very active trader in bullion coins only, just bullion. They don't do the collectible type coins. And their spread is just about $5 an ounce. Well, when you look at that as a percentage, it's about 25% or so. Normally, it's been 10% or so in the past. So the demand is significant out there right now for both silver and for gold for a variety of reasons, one of those being this significant amount of government debt going into finance our ongoing operations as a country.
Wow. So I just looked at the silver chart there. It's about like at a five-year high or one of the highest levels it's been at in 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. It went down to a low of 12 in March here. Shows the need for liquidity by many. Is that the end of the Shea stats there, Shea?
It is the end of the Shea stats, which leads us into our topic, which is financial independence.
Financial independence. Let's finally get to it, shall we? 20 minutes of. I'm glad that we took that detour down the route of our great country. Purchasing power, not principle, is the title of this article. I don't necessarily agree with not principle because there obviously are some investments that protect your principle. Obviously, having some investments that do protect your principle make a ton of sense in today's environment, but also trying to think about in terms of spending, how much income do we have given the number of surprises that we're seeing in the retirement force? Many people retiring earlier now, as this guest expert says, S. Joseph DeSalvo, in this month's newsletter with Ed Slott and Company. He is a financial advisor in Smithtown, New York. And some interesting points he makes in this. Some present and future clients will see their peak earning years cut short and lifelong savings threatened. Common questions and concerns, having enough money saved in an IRA or qualified plan like a 403B or 401K. Retirement money invested in the right accounts. Claiming Social Security early, which we just had a number of conversations with both potential clients and current clients. What they can do about the fact that they collected early. Should they indeed wait? What are their other sources of income? Looking at all of those details now is more important, it seems, than ever before, because the options that you have may surprise you, and the choices that you make can make a significant difference in the long term for your long-term financial well-being. Claiming Social Security early or tapping an IRA, which is the best decision? A conversation yesterday with clients, she was concerned because she is now going to be 65, this particular client. And her, none of the people here with us in the studio here, Ron.
We're nowhere near that.
So she was talking about the fact that her a designation that was her career would be going, she would need to update for the next year. It would take her in terms of education to get all the educational work behind her so that she could recertify for this particular designation so that she could be certified then for the next 2 years. So we were talking about the fact, she said, I really do not want to go back to work, but I'm also a bit reluctant given the risk of letting go of this designation. So that's where the rubber hits the road, isn't it? When we're all making these decisions, am I willing to, if you will, close that page and turn to the next chapter and in some ways say goodbye to that part of the harbor where I felt relatively safe? And that is a great conversation to have and honest. You know, for some, it is honestly, a mourning process because we're moving on from a career that gave us a lot of satisfaction, a lot of income over the years. It paid us and paid us for our families, for our well-being. And moving beyond that can really, that transitional phase can be difficult. And so walking through that, so we talked about in this particular instance, what could we do or what should we do? Part of it was maybe it's moving a portion of your portfolio so that it's more liquid, so that we don't have to depend on the market as much. Because they have several sources of a guaranteed income, this particular couple, it's not as much a concern. But I said we can still move that portfolio to match your current needs as they may happen in the immediate future. And that's key to this, moving or manipulating the portfolio to match your own risk tolerance and where you are currently in life.
And, you know, Dennis, that's so interesting what you were saying, because it takes me back to our discussion with John Sluice. I think that was last week.
It was.
And we were talking about going from that familiar getting your paycheck to the unfamiliar, and just that you become aware of more things. You usually have your taxes withdrawn from your paycheck, and you know that is going on. And then you switch, and you start seeing all that happen, and it's a little overwhelming, and it can throw you off a little bit. So working with that accountant and the financial advisor helps navigate that sort of shock from one system to an unfamiliar new system.
Many times it takes retirees 1 to 2 years to become accustomed to that very fact. Mm. You know, I'm going to be moving on now. What can the rest of my life look like? You know, in the perfect planning situation, you've got it all mapped out, the spreadsheet's there. Now this is what I'm going to do at 8:30. I'm going to be in the garage until about noon so my wife can still stand me or allow me to come back into the house, you know, whatever that might be. We get that. But in most of our worlds, we've not really taken the time to do that. And we might be surprised with our job that we're required to retire earlier, perhaps. So doing some of this after the fact may be the case. Having these conversations that are real and meaningful, hopefully, to you, are some of the best work I think we can do in helping people navigate what can be a difficult change. Just takes a while to get accustomed to. So that's the beginning of it. The rest of it, revealing the risk, short-term risk, market risk, and withdrawal risk. If you're trying to draw money from a declining or jumpy market, it's up close and personal here, given this stock market, extremely volatile. Trying to draw money from a roller coaster is not a good idea, because then you lock in your losses and decimate your rates of return. Happy thoughts, right?
I don't know what to say.
So having money set aside that's prepped within your accounts to take withdrawals when things aren't going well is one of the best things. Now, it's not one of the best things you can do when the market's going straight up, obviously. But it is one of the best things generally. And when we're drawing money or when we need funds on a monthly, quarterly, or annual basis, preparing 2 to 3 years hence, are we going to have enough money there so we don't have to draw from that roller coaster? And we have a call, Ron, do we?
We do. Mr. Herb is on the line in Traverse City. Good morning, Herb.
Good morning. How are you?
Herb,
very well,
it
sir.
Is good to hear your voice. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Excellent.
You know, you always talk about getting your financial picture in place, but, you know, I think there's another piece of the puzzle that you have to be concerned about. Is what are you going to do when you retire? You know, I think it's important because a lot of people retire and they sit in front of the TV and they forget that they still have a life to live.
So may I ask, what did you do, Herb?
Well, you know, it was interesting because, you know, I was involved with so many different organizations and I continued to stay involved with those organizations. So, you know, with Rotary, with SCORE, with the Cherry Festival, with the Boy Scouts. You know, I continued my association with them, but also had all those people, a lot of friends that I still stayed in touch with. So friends and family are a critical piece to that. Mm. And then also, you know, of course, I belong to four different investment clubs. So that's kept my brain working and other things. So I didn't miss work, but I had to be able to get my brain engaged to make sure I was going to continue to keep it working.
You needed to continue to use that pink stuff in your head and keep it motivated and moving, eh?
Yeah. And I just think that, you know, people, when they start looking at retirement, it's not just what is your financial picture, but what is your picture of what you're going to do? What makes you want to get out of bed every day?
It's a great point.
You're watching Judge Judy. That's what makes me get out of bed every day.
No. Sorry. No way.
Great stuff. Point well taken, Herb. You got to stay active and at it, don't you? It's a great point.
You really do. Yeah.
Appreciate it. Appreciate the phone call.
And that's one thing that we can really appreciate here in Traverse City, because we've talked before about the wide range of volunteer organizations and nonprofits that our senior citizens really enrich all those experiences and bring a lot of manpower and a lot of creativity to. So,
Prout Financial Design, New Retirement Radio, happy Independence Day all. Thanks for being in.
Yep. Happy 4th.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.